Welcome to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I'm Eric Jean-Baptiste, and we are on the journey on how to engage with youth and young adults better by listening to youth leaders from all around the world share their experiences and knowledge with us so that we can be better equipped. Because what we want to do is empower our youth and young adults to be leaders, to be evangelists, to be in a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. We are in season 2, episode 6, and feel free to check out season 1 if you haven't already. Check out episode number 46 in season 1, where I talk with Pastor Eddie Heinrich, and he talks about how we haven't learned how to play nice. That was a very interesting episode and a great interview. Well, have you ever had deja vu? Have you ever had a conversation and feel like you've had this conversation before? Well, that's what happens in this episode. But before I introduce it, I just want to remind you all that you can reach out to me on Instagram at youth_mentor101, youth_mentor101, and I would love to hear your feedback if there's somebody that you feel like I should interview or how I could serve you better in this field. Feel free to reach out to me. Feel free to subscribe to this podcast or share it with anyone who you believe could benefit from it. Feel free to give a rating and a review so that our platform can grow and we can reach others about what we are doing here in this message. Well, I sit down with Sister Mwenya, formerly from the Greater New York Conference, and who is now making an awesome impact in the General Conference. It's interesting because in season 1, I speak with Kenya Reyes, who did the exact same thing. So it feels like it's kind of like deja vu all over again. So I wanted to ask Mwenya, what makes Greater New York such a great training ground for what they are doing now at the General Conference? She answers that question and more. So check out this episode after the ad. Hey everybody, Eric Jean-Baptiste here with Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I am with Sister Mwenya, who works at the General Conference in Youth Ministries. How you doing today, Sister?
I'm good. I'm excited to be on here. I've heard a couple of podcasts. Now to be on the other side, it's amazing. I'm excited.
We're happy to have you because you have the viewpoint where you're at the highest level in the church when it comes to youth ministry. So it'll be interesting to see what you have to say about it. Let's just ask if you could give a short bio about yourself and what led you to where you are now.
Ooh, a short bio. So my name is Mwenya. I'm originally from Zambia. That's in the southern part of Africa. Came to the States like a while ago. I was like 8. Wow. And from then on, been in New York, Greater New York. Worked a lot in youth ministry, started off as a pathfinder, was super dedicated to that. There was a moment where I kind of fell off for a little bit, but came back in with leadership and stayed with that, became an area coordinator in Greater, was working really close recently with Pastor Ariel Mansueta right before I came over here to the GC, but that's pretty much the journey if we talk ministry-wise.
Wow. Yeah. I really want to delve into your experience at Greater because I think it's really interesting as Greater is one of those conferences where it is a very big melting pot of a lot of cultures and is very diverse. Could you give us some insight into that, of how it's such a melting pot in Greater New York Conference?
It is. Greater is so diverse. We have all the different types of Hispanics you can think of, Colombian, Dominican, Puerto Rican, whatever you can think of in that area. We have a pretty huge Franco-Haitian community out there too. And then outside of that, there are the little pockets of Africans. And I say Africans not to put all of us in one country, but it's just because we're so, it's one from every country. So, it's, you know, it's just together. Yeah. And then they have all those little pockets. But it's great because even coming to the GC here and thinking of the worldwide, I already had that in such a small part back in Greater. I was mingling with people from everywhere. So coming here, it's like, it's the same thing. It's basically being home and Greater. You know what I mean?
I see. Mm-hmm. So it's like that area is a great learning experience for,
it definitely is,
you know, that level that you're at now, which is overseeing seeing what's happening in the world. So going into that, you said you worked with Pastor Ariel down there. What besides area coordinator, what else did you do to assist them in Greater New York?
Well, in the last years, it's been pretty hectic. But let me backtrack a little. So area coordinator on the Pathfinder section. And then, I don't know if you heard, we had like the Risen play a couple of years ago. I think that was when Pastor Peralta was still in leadership. And I was heading that as an, what was my position? I was a stage manager. There we go.
Okay.
So I was heading that whole thing. That was pretty cool with that. And then recently with Pastor Mansueta, it's been whatever. It was whatever he needed. So I was leading out the social media team for Greater, which I'm kind of still dabbling in. Whatever extra admin work he needed from the office, I was kind of dealing with it. Oshkosh was super hectic, making sure everybody had their tickets, making sure things were together. So, yeah. But it was basically whatever extra thing he needed help with outside of with Congress, making sure registration's up, making sure the app's working. It's basically whatever was needed to be done, I was doing, basically. Yeah, yeah.
So you did help out with Oshkosh getting Greater set up for it and, like, you know, making sure registration and stuff were going well.
Yeah, especially more towards when we're getting closer to Oshkosh, when people were like, I'm missing a ticket. I need a ticket. This ticket is missing. So just making sure we pulled all those tickets together and then evenly distributed them out so that no one was kind of left behind in a sense. Okay. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, going into that, let me ask this question.
Sure.
You're active in Pathfinder Ministry. You were an area coordinator. Can you give us, what do you feel the impact of the Oshkosh Campery has for Pathfinder age youth?
Ooh, Oshkosh. I think Oshkosh is like the epitome of Pathfindering. I don't know. Like, I think if you've been a Pathfinder and never had the experience to go into Oshkosh as a Pathfinder, I would try and make it out there even as an adult. But as a Pathfinder, I think it's just realizing that your club of 10, your club of 20, if you're really blessed, your club of 40 is not the only club in the world. And then not just when you go to a regular Campery and it's in the hundreds, that's still not even a little piece of what Pathfindering is worldwide. But when you go to Oshkosh and you see the thousands and thousands of young people, mainly just either if you're going to the hangars or wherever you may be going, you just see like crowds and crowds. You realize how much more Pathfinders is past your little club, how much more it's past your little five people that meet every Sunday or Saturday or whatever it may be, and realize that it really is a global movement that is bringing young people closer to Christ daily, weekly, all the time. Yeah.
Awesome.
Were you at Oshkosh?
Yes, I was there. Mm-hmm. I plan to never miss one until
me
Jesus
neither.
Comes.
Mm-hmm. I think this was my third one. So each one, I'm so excited. I've gone in. Every time I've gone to Oshkosh is with a different level, and it's interesting to see it from all the different perspectives. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Super exciting.
That's the same for me. The first time I went, you know, I was an assistant director of a club, and then I was an area coordinator for a conference, and then I was an area coordinator for another conference. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see it from that level too. Now, speaking about how you mentioned how Oshkosh is so great because you get to see youth ministry isn't just happening in your own local church. It's happening all around the world. It's happening all around America. You are at a level where you get to see, you know, what's happening basically around the world in youth ministry. So I just want to see from your perspective while you've been there, what have you seen going around the world in youth ministries? What has been a takeaway that you've noticed seeing all what's happening?
I haven't been here long, but so far I think it's the diversity in programs that go on worldwide. I think and Kenya was telling me this before I got here, and she was like, you'll see there's a difference. Some of the things we might not always hold on so strong to or do in NAD are booming and going, they're moving in IAD and, you know, in the I'm speaking with all these acronyms, in Inter-American Division or in South Indian Ocean Division. And they're really, you know, like, for example, I don't think we as NAD people have really held on to like the ambassador program. But that's something that in other divisions, they're really, you know, honing and moving so quickly with OYEM, which is 1 year in mission. And that's another thing that's really, you know, so I think the diversity in programs and realizing that youth ministries is also beyond Adventures Pathfinders and AY. There's so many other things that as on a world level that are initiatives that are really being implemented all over the world.
Could you let us know what the ambassador program is for those who probably don't know what it is?
Yes, and I wish I had something on with me that could, you know, explain it better, but I'm gonna try to explain it as best as I can, and forgive me if I miss an aspect of it and embarrass an ambassador. But it is, I wish I had the age requirements, but it's the program right after Pathfinders, and it's more on the AY side. So it's like the young adults, but too old for Pathfinders, that kind of age group. I wish I had the age group range with me right now because I'm missing it and I don't want to give the wrong number. But it's kind of that age group, and it runs more with the AY societies part of youth ministries and not with club ministries.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love how you're saying that it's not only just the different programs that work well with different age groups. You know, Adventure is a certain age group, Pathfinder is a certain age group. So there's different programs per age group, but there's also different programs that are working well in different parts of the world. Pathfinder and NED is a big thing, but then you go to South America and then you say, oh snap, I thought Pathfinders was big in North America. It's nothing compared to down there. I mean,
yes,
that's their life.
I know someone from Brazil, he's telling me, yo, when you go to Brazilian camperies, they can't even fit them in one camperie. They have to split them up, and I think it's like three of them. So just so that the whole, like, all of Brazil can say they made it to a camp meeting that year. Wow. They can't just have one. It's crazy.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And you know, in Jamaica, isn't it also being put into the school program as well, Pathfinder Ministry?
I saw that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's really good.
Yeah, so there's a lot of amazing things going around. Can you give us an insight? Because one thing I have noticed is the world directors do a very good job trying to connect with what's happening around the world and traveling. Could you give us a little insight how hectic their travel schedule is?
And I did not realize until I got here, and you're trying to schedule a meeting with the whole department. And it's like, oh yeah, we can all meet, but Pastor Paco is on his way, like right now. Pastor Peralta is in Solomon Islands this afternoon. Pastor Paco is going to the Pan-African Congress in Kenya. So wow. It's like, we had a staff meeting today, but they weren't able to be present because they're not here. It's really to plan a day that everyone's here. It has to be like a couple weeks, maybe even a month ahead. And everybody looks and finds that one day where maybe someone flew in yesterday and someone's flying out tomorrow. And you have that one day that you take them away from their families so wow. that you can have the meeting because, yeah. And it's...
Wow. Uh-huh. So the window for error is very, very small.
So small.
Wow.
So small. Ooh.
It's
incredibly small.
Yeah, it's something I wanted to, because if people weren't aware of it, I wanted to highlight it here to show how they are really working hard to be connected with what's happening in the world. So they're basically sacrificing a lot. And
They are. And that was I remember in my interview, that was one of the questions I asked them, like, what was one of the hard things you guys didn't expect coming into this position? And I think it was the amount of travel they have to do, the amount of moving from here to there and here, and then still having a family and making sure that's still okay too, because that is also one of their primary ministries, you know? So making sure that's still being intact and working together, and then still making sure to minister to all the other young people of the world. So yeah, it's definitely a lot of juggling they're doing.
So with their amount of travel, what duties fall to you and to Kenya with them, you know, visiting the world as much as they can? What are you asked to do at the office in terms of?
It's almost everything. So it's between me, Kenya, and then there's also Maria who works directly with Pastor Paco. It's everything. It's making sure flyers are done. It's making sure promotion is put up on Instagram. It's making sure their tickets are booked and they are not, their connecting flights are actually going to be there for them to connect to. And they're not stranded in an airport for, you know, it's just making sure, it's really being on top of everything that they can make it to these appointments and make it back to their families and everything runs smoothly while they're gone. And make sure the departments also run smoothly while they're gone and nothing kind of falls through the cracks. So it's a lot of juggling on our end too.
Wow.
But it's fun juggling. It's a lot of fun. It is.
I think I talked about this a little bit with Kenya. It's I think it's something that I would enjoy so much is to always be talking. That's what I do basically on this podcast. Just talk about youth ministry all day long. And I think that's something you guys get to do, right?
It is, and it's so much fun, you know, just constantly coming up with ideas of things that are coming up. I'm so excited. I'm trying not to spill the beans too quickly, but Kenya and I are so excited because we have a fun project coming soon, real soon, like in the new year, and we're so excited, and we're excited for first time being heard of on Eric's podcast, but we're excited to start that soon, and you guys will hear about it soon. But man, it's exciting to just constantly be talking about youth ministries and ministry itself and trying to reach the young people all across the world. It's fun stuff.
Oh, you can't tease something like that.
I have to drop a little something so that we can, you know, people can come back and be like, what was she talking about?
Can I get the scoop or something? Get
a little scoop?
A little inside info.
Okay, a little inside info is the backstory of it, right? So, how can I say this? So it's basically allowing us, especially me and Kenya, focusing mostly on young adults because that's the period of life we're in. But recognizing that the things we go through are not just our own, but we have God. We have God to go to talk with. Then we also have our church and our church community and the people around us, and on a world level, the world church around us to support us in some of these things, but also to correct us, but also to walk us through some of these issues that we may have and guide us into certain situations. But that's pretty much it. That's the wraparound. Okay. But it's coming real soon. Oh,
okay,
I'm so excited.
Okay. I'm excited too. And I do get the credit of scooping it first.
You do.
You heard it here on Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. So going on into that, let me ask, do you still assist in a local church, or is the schedule just so hectic that you're just focused on what you're doing in the office right now? Or what is there youth ministries that you still connect with at a local level?
Mm-hmm. So right now I am kind of in this transition period, being that I've been living in Maryland for 2 months. So I'm still trying to find my home church out here in Maryland, and trying to find where the church I was going to in New York, and I love that church so much, but it was more of the church my parents picked. The church my parents were like, this is going to be our home. And so now it's my turn to do that and pick a church. And I've kind of been really selective on that, and making sure that I'm picking a place that I'm not going to for the next generation, but I'm going to also for me, and making sure that I'm good there, and not just, especially because in my old church, I was so much in the leadership focus, making sure, you know, I was still club director. Technically still am club director of my local church back home. So it was very much making sure my kids are, you know, focused in their book work, or making sure they're forming that relationship with God, and making sure they're forming relationships with each other. So in this, as I look for a church right now, trying to make sure I'm looking for one for myself. But I have been talking with people around the building, and there's a project I'm kind of interested in with young adults that someone's planning on starting up, so I might fall in that place. But for right now, I'm still co-director of my local church in New York.
Wow,
and
wow.
I'm still like planning stuff for that, and I'm still highly working with Greater in this transition phase, because also I'm not the type to just leave something and pick up and move. So I would rather phase it out so that the next person coming in isn't left with just a bunch of things that's there, but they know how to move in it. If they want to pick up what I left off, pick it up and keep moving in that pace, or they're confident enough with themselves to pick up new things and move in a different direction. But yeah. So that's kind of where I am, looking for a local church here that I can call home, and then still working with my roots back in Greater and in Queens. That's
awesome. Yeah. I love how, well, I don't necessarily love, but it's, I find it interesting how when a leader like yourself moves, they still have to connect with their home church, because they relied on you so much, because you were doing a lot of things. So, but it's also cool that, you know, you're not leaving them to flap in the wind. So there's a lot of transition, but you're still connected with them. One thing I did want to ask is,
it's Kenya.
All right. All right. No problem. So one thing I did want to ask is, you helped out in social media with Greater New York, and you're also helping social media in now at the GC with the youth ministry department. What tips could you give to that local church that is starting out in using social media to get their message, get what they're doing in their local church out there?
For me, it's staying consistent and finding a voice. But I'm going to also say this more on the, because I've really honed in more on horned in more on youth ministries and knowing that sector, and not so much on a church level, social media, but knowing for, so I'm going to kind of specify this answer to the youth department of said church or said conference, knowing what is happening with the youth of right now, how are they talking to each other? How are they having conversations with each other? If I go onto some random Pathfinder or some young adult and go on their Instagram, what does their feed look like? Is there a pattern to it? Because then you also have to know who you're talking to, you know? So kind of mirroring something that your youth would appreciate, but also still making sure you're keeping your church standards as well. So I'm not saying be like the youth, well, be like the youth, but keep it with church, if I can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so kind of knowing that. So I know for greater, some things that were really amazing for us was the thing in New York right now to say to everyone is you're, you know, if you go in the street and just like you're, there's someone going to respond back. If you're on Oshkosh and you ended up with somewhere in between Northeastern and Greater, in the middle of the night, you would just hear someone go, "Yeah," and there'll be a response back to you. Because in New York, we kind of understood what's happening there, right? So even just being like, "Yeah," there's a young adult thing happening next week. The young adults are going to understand what you mean by that. The older people in the church might not, but that's okay for this purpose because that's who you're talking to. So I think knowing what your young adult voice, what your youth voice sounds like and is, and I guess when you can translate that also to adults, knowing that if I say you're, but I'm talking to the women's ministry director, she would be like, I'm confused, you know. So I guess knowing the voice of your audience, and don't steal it, but for greater, we I think the one thing that really popped off was having young people take over on the social media pages. Yes. When we have an event, and that's something that we're trying more to do this coming year, and we're implementing some other cool things with that. But just saying, oh, there's going to be Adventure Campery, maybe we can get a young adventure staff to take over, or maybe there's Congress coming up, let's have a young adult host and show us what Congress really looks like from their point of view. So awesome. I think those aspects are kind of cool for social media, but keep it fun, keep it light.
I hate to break it to you, but a lot of conferences are already using that, so that's really good. So local churches should do that as well. Have if they have a page, or especially on Instagram, have an Instagram takeover. And
And I think also maybe just doing the things with the leaders of the church, and we're trying to find a space to do that too here with the youth directors, is having them take over and showing you what does a day in the life as Pastor Gary really look like. Because I think most people don't know that Pastor Gary likes to work really early in the morning. And when I say really early, I mean like 5 a.m. in the morning, and he'll be at the office, you know? Yes. But most people are probably thinking he's coming at 9 and leaving at 5. No, he's coming in at 5 a.m. and then he might have another meeting at like 8 p.m. with someone whose time zone works better at that time. So having something like that, I think, would be really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually know of this because I've gotten those messages at 5 a.m. And I was like, oh, man, this guy's up already. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I had for Christmas, I wrapped his desk up because we have a running office joke. If anyone watches The Office. So we have a running office joke. So in one of the Office episodes, Jim wraps Dwight's desk in Christmas thing, wrapping paper, right? So I did that for his desk. And then my plan was to try and make it here before 8, before he got here. So I could record him walking into the room. He sent me a text at 5 a.m. saying, oh, I like my desk. And I was like,
he was already there.
That's my surprise.
Yes. But the funny thing is, that desk wasn't there. It was all just, wasn't it just all wrapping paper? So like when he, it was nothing there.
In the office, there was like nothing there, yeah. But he still has stuff there, fortunately for him.
Yeah, okay. Couldn't do that. All right. So, Sister Buena, thank you for coming on the podcast and giving your insight on what's happening in youth ministry. Oh, but I can't leave without you giving us a little bit of insight on what's happening June 25th to July 4th. Can you let us know what's happening during those days?
Yes. I almost thought you forgot. And I was like, Eric, come on. Forgot to. But during that time, we'll be having impact sessions in Indiana. So it's going to run during the same time as GC sessions. So if you're coming to GC sessions with your parent and you're thinking, what am I doing that whole week while my parents go to business meetings? You can definitely register with Impact and with the Youth Department of General Conference to participate in Impact. What will we be doing during Impact, though? If you're interested in one-year mission, there's going to be a track on that. If you're interested in creative evangelism, so podcasting, YouTubing, and how can that be beneficial to young people across the world and really spreading the gospel, we'll be having meetings on that. If you're interested in club ministries, whatever you're interested in that has to do with youth ministries, there'll be a section of training there specifically for that in the morning. Then in the afternoon, we'll be going out to Impact Indianapolis, and that means we'll be going out to do several different community service projects so that we can reach the people of Indianapolis in different ways with one another. And then in the evenings, you may ask, where we have this soul pack. Kenya Reyes will be heading the social committee team, and we'll be having different activities, social-like games, and each day is kind of different. We have a karaoke night one night, just so that young people can get together and make some connections with people from all over the world serving in youth ministry. So we're excited. We hope you're excited. We hope you'll be there. So come out. The link to register, right? That's what's left. You'll be registering at youth.adventist.org/impact. Almost forgot it, but that's youth.adventist.org/impact. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Awesome. So as I usually do on this podcast, I leave it to the guests to give some words of encouragement. So wherever this youth leader may be in Zambia or Australia, they are needing some words of encouragement to continue on in youth ministry. What words of encouragement would you give?
I would honestly say, keep doing what you're doing right now. Keep on keeping on. As cliche as that may sound, but some young person behind you is watching and they're encouraged by you. And you might not see it now, but you'll hear about it later and how much your work and what you're doing is helping them in their time right now. But keep on doing what you're doing. But while you do that, pass on what you know to the next generation so that they can keep this movement moving, you know? This movement of Seventh-day Adventism was not meant to just stay in one place, but to keep moving and to reach other people so that we can hurry on the coming back of Christ and we can go to heaven, because I'm tired of it down here. So that's basically it. But yeah,